Welcome to Tech Talk, y'all.
Hello, and welcome to Tech Talk, y'all, episode 318. I'm Sanjay Parekh.
And I'm Adam Walker, and we have a more appropriate length of articles to share with you today, and that means we get to banter more and laugh about absolutely nothing. So,
and by the way, do you realize we're 3 weeks away from our 7-year anniversary of Tech Talk, y'all?
3 weeks away, is that it?
3 weeks away,
yeah. Wow, 7 years?
7 years.
That's pretty long running. That's longer running than some of my favorite TV shows. So, you know.
How many seasons was Friends?
I think Friends was 10. So 10, right? Yeah. We gotta beat Friends. That's gonna be the goal. You know, for sure. And then, you know, we'll beat something else.
So in 2027,
yeah,
we'll beat
yeah.
Friends.
Yeah, we'll be okay. Like, Friends, you suck.
Although, by the way, we do more episodes than That's Friends true. Did in a season because we don't take the summer or whatever
the obligatory
it is off.
Long break. That's true.
Right.
That's true.
So yeah, that's true. We're almost every week.
We're really knocking it out. As best
there you go.
All right. Well, listen, let's dig in. We've already started off poorly here. So, all right. First article, okay. I read this article and I started out like very much like, oh, this is dumb. And then I was like, oh, this is amazing. So, yep. The article title, I demoed Bluetooth AuraCast and it's going to be a big deal. Here's why. So AuraCast is the ability of a device to distribute its audio signal to multiple devices at once, which again, when you first hear it is like, that's super dumb. Until you think about like, when was the last time you went to a restaurant and there's two or three or four TVs up, they're all muted. You can't hear anything going on.
Yep.
But with this technology, you could pop in your earbuds, pull up the app, dial into the TV that you want to listen to. And now, boom, you've got access to that TV. Or the other example in the article is the airport. Like, what about it? Like, there's a million announcements. But what if you only got announcements from the airline that you're flying plus yep. the airport announcements? Like, that would be kind of amazing. Yep. So I think this is exciting, man. What are your thoughts?
There are so many places to use this. At the gym, you know, they've got a bazillion TVs up.
Yes.
And you got to use that, you know, janky plug-in uh-huh. thing
yeah.
to make that all work. Although right. you could use the Bluetooth thing that I talked about many weeks ago as my tech rec in that yeah. situation. But this yeah. is a better solution.
Yeah.
So I've actually thought about this idea a long time ago. I didn't realize they were actually working on it because it makes sense. So they're just yeah. broadcasting a Bluetooth. So here's the big difference. Most of our listeners probably have paired a Bluetooth headphones to a phone or something like that. And you have to pair it and it's secure and the whole yeah, thing.
Right.
This doesn't do that. It's basically broadcasting a signal over Bluetooth.
Okay.
Out in the open, non-encrypted. It's not anything secret, but any Bluetooth receiver then can pick it up and then funnel it into your ears.
Nice.
So it really is a great idea. And there's, I think, even other places that you could think about this. Think about the movies. And for somebody that
yeah.
wants to have closed mm-hmm. captioning, you know, maybe that's blind and needs the audio descriptions.
Right.
How do you do that in a movie theater?
Yeah.
Well, now you can. Mm. They can go to the theater with everybody else and just hear the extra stuff that they need to hear to be able to understand what's going on the screen. So I think this is a great idea. It's well
oh,
worth
yeah.
it.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't wait to try it out one of these days. And a little side note, even if your Bluetooth headphones don't have the ability to do this, if your phone does, it can relay the signal over to your Bluetooth headphones. So as long as your phone, which a lot of people end up upgrading more often, can do this or you know, through a software update can do this, you're going to have this ability. So
right, right.
Bam. There you go.
I like
Bluetooth
it.
Aura I like cast. It. On the other end of it, what if you never had to charge your gadgets again? And you're going to have to talk about this because my Google Docs just went away from me.
Ah, well, so apparently it's a new technology that like, so, you know, you and I were in school, you remember being in school and they'd pass out these calculators
yep.
and the calculators don't have a battery. They just have like that little strip at the top. So then you like hold your finger over the strip to block it. So the calculator, like, you're like, oh, this is the coolest thing ever. It doesn't have to have a battery. It's powered by light. Well, basically they've created a way to do that with ambient internal light that produces enough power to actually power like other higher use, like other gadgets that require more power than the calculator does.
Right.
So one of the examples was, you know, you could have like one of these strips over top of your over ear headphones And then they would pick up all the light from the room and power your headphones. You literally could have Wi-Fi, I mean, Bluetooth headphones that never have to charge again, which is kind of amazing. So, I mean, I think the applications are really interesting for this. I'll be interested to see how it rolls out.
Yeah. So they mentioned in the article that this technology has gotten to the point where they can convert 38% of the light that's hitting it into energy. And there's actually a company, Exeger, that has a solar cell that's around this technology called Powerfoil. They actually have already partnered with somebody that makes headphones. And I feel like we talked about it on one of the episodes here, but the problem with that was it still wouldn't get enough energy to be able to be like, okay, you can do without recharging it.
Right.
I feel like in this article, they also talked about using this in pairing it with like a supercapacitor. So you don't even have a battery, but you actually have a capacitor that will have a lot longer lifespan than a battery. Mm. And that can just get charged and discharged kind of almost infinitely. So some really interesting stuff that's happening in kind of this energy space. And you never know, maybe this has applications for electric vehicles and other stuff too.
We'll talk more about electric vehicles in just a moment. But first, Tesla Optimus robot can't build cars yet, but it is folding clothes. So
can I get one of these for home? Because I need that.
I mean, do you though? Because like the folding clothes job it was doing was kind of analogous to like, I would say a 4-year-old folding clothes.
I know.
So
yeah.
It was, I mean, I'm watching, I'm like, okay, it's folded like in air quotes, right?
Yeah.
It's still very wrinkled. But you know, it did the job. I mean,
so
I will
maybe
say it,
maybe Gen 2 that irons the clothes and then folds them or hangs them.
Yeah,
that's the version I want.
Yeah, with the starch, it irons and starches the clothes, right?
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, like I will say, this version of the robot does look pretty impressive, and it's a huge step up from kind of their initial prototype version. So that's interesting. It does make me think 5 years down the road. This thing could be, I mean, it could literally be like out of the sci-fi movies, like doing things that normal humans can do in terms of physical things, running faster, lifting more, doing all kinds of insane amount of stuff. Like it's a little scary and interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Exactly. What else is scary and interesting? Chicago area Tesla charging stations lined with dead cars in freezing cold. A bunch of dead robots out here. So here's the problem with charging electric vehicles.
I was hoping you were going to explain this because like I read the article and I'm like, I still don't understand why. So yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it's too cold. Basically, the problem.
Got it. Yeah.
I mean, you know, electronics, a lot of electronics work better when they're cold because they generate heat and they have to dissipate that heat, and that makes them work better until you get to a certain point.
Gotcha.
And then I'm sure there's probably issues here with water vapor that's freezing and, you know, causing issues there.
Yeah.
The other end of this too can be a problem when things get too hot.
Yeah.
And actually a couple of years ago, I had that exact problem in my garage. We know Atlanta, it gets hot.
It does.
My garage got too hot and my plug-in hybrid vehicle stopped charging because it got too hot. So I'll tell you, we just went through a renovation. I think I mentioned this on the podcast before.
Yeah.
We ended up insulating the entire garage. So normally when they build houses, they don't insulate the garage because that's really considered outside.
Yeah.
Right. Outside the envelope of the inside of the home. I was like, no, we're doing all of it.
Yeah.
We did the ceiling. We did the sides. We got an insulated garage door.
Yep.
And right now it is frigid cold in Atlanta, to the level of a single digit degree with wind chill.
Yeah.
I think overnight we were at 14 or 12 or
something
like
that.
That.
Right. Yeah.
I walked into the garage this morning. I had an early morning thing I had to go to. It was very nice in the garage. It wasn't warm, but it wasn't cold.
My garage is actually like pretty okay too. And like, I don't have an insulated garage door. I don't know how we have a bedroom over the garage. So I think that changes the equation a little bit.
Yeah.
But it was decent. It was decent in there. So like this article is interesting. Like there are a ton of Teslas just stranded, people that have been at the charge stations like overnight, all day, hours at a time, zero charge. And like one guy they were interviewing was like, yeah, I've got to get my car towed on a flatbed truck because, you know, it's zero. I can't go anywhere. I got to take it somewhere I can charge it up. I'm like, oh, that's not good at all.
You shouldn't let your car get to that level.
I did wonder about that. Like, to me, I was like, why is it at zero? Like, that seems so crazy to me. I mean,
And if you know the cold is coming, so batteries will kind of lose their energy as it gets colder and colder because
that could be a part of it. Okay.
The battery electrons, if you remember your physics from high school,
I don't.
Right. Mm-hmm. So with heat, electrons move faster. So with cold, they move slower, right? That's why superconductors, you have them at very cold temperatures a lot of times, because all of the electrons have stopped moving. And that way the electrons can flow through them much easier with less resistance,
right?
Because all the movements are not random anymore. So that's going to happen to your battery in your electric vehicle too. As it gets colder, things don't go well, right? Interesting side note. I don't know if you've watched the movie Leave the World Behind. Have you seen that yet? It's on Netflix.
I don't think so.
Julia Roberts is in it. It's a fantastic movie. It's really well done.
All right.
I thought, but in Atlanta a part of the movie, here's a little spoiler alert. In a part of the movie, things kind of go wrong in the world. And all of these Teslas, they're definitely Teslas. Mm. They're autonomously driving and crashing into each other and jamming up one of the roads.
Okay.
So
it's just a matter of time, really.
Yeah, a bunch of dead robots out there. That was the same thing there.
Speaking of more robots, John Deere, meet Elon Musk, SpaceX satellites to link farm giants equipment. And so, SpaceX is putting those new satellites in. We were talking about last week on T-Mobile Network. Well, apparently that's what John Deere is going to connect to for the data for their tractors. So, which I guess, I mean, really makes a lot of sense if you think about it. Like, I would imagine these tractors are deployed in places that probably don't have a ton of cell phone towers. And so, you know, that makes sense, I guess.
When I saw this article, I just worry like, are they going to do something dumb again and make it hard for farmers to operate their equipment? Or I don't know.
I mean, like, it seems inevitable, but who knows? You know,
like, I'm just not a fan of that. Like, let's do things to make farmers' lives easier, because what? Without the farmers, none of us are eating.
That's right.
Like, we can't eat, any of us.
That's right.
So doing things to squeeze every dollar out of a farmer, maybe not the best idea for society in general, right? I mean, I'm all for giving them internet access so that they can play Pong on their phones when they're younger. I don't know why. That was the only game I could think of. That's
terrible.
You don't need internet access for Pong either, but you know, it is what it is. Something else that is what it is. Mr. Beast drops his first video on Elon Musk's Twitter. I'm not going to say X. Gets a whopping 23 million views in just 6 hours.
Yeah. I mean, so this is the reversal of another article like from like, what, 2 weeks ago where Mr. Beast is like, no, you can't afford me. Well, I mean, I decided to do a test video. I mean, this is what internet marketing is. This is what digital marketing is. It's like, put it out there, test it. Check the monetization. Did it make enough money or not? Did it get enough engagement or not? And then decide if you're going to do it again. So the real question is going to be, does he do it again? Does he drop a second video? That will actually be more interesting than the first one.
Okay, so here's the part that kind of flabbergasted me about this article.
Okay.
Street analysts believe he rakes in $3 to $5 million every month from ads and sponsorships.
Oh, yeah.
Every month.
Mr. Beast also he launched a chocolate company. I think we talked about this.
I don't think it was good, right? It was bad.
No. I think it makes a couple hundred million a year. Look it up. I remember he was in an interview. I watched the part of the interview and he was like, we started this up. Nobody really innovated chocolate for a while. So we did this and this and this. And he's like, we're selling a couple hundred million a year. Like very casual, whatever. No big deal. So he's doing real well. But I mean, like we said before, he invests all of his money back into more videos to create more content to roll everything forward to grow his audience, which is, I mean, an incredibly smart play. So
yeah,
he's an interesting dude, to say the least.
Yeah. It's you look at that and you're like, oh, I could do that too. I'm like, you could. It just takes a long time to do that.
It just takes
a
lot of
It's easy to launch a chocolate company when you already have a bazillion followers that will just buy anything that you do.
That's it.
Right?
That's it. That's right.
Kleenex, Mr. Beast. Yeah, let's go buy some of those.
It reminds me of there's this TikToker I've been following. I'll have to find his link and link it in the show notes. But he gets on there and it's the greatest. He's like, man, I need to make some money, some extra money this month. Let's see what advice TikTok has. And he'll cut to a video of like one of these like ridiculous influencers. Like, you know what you need to do? You need to take all your extra money and you need to invest it in houses. And those houses will triple in value in 2 years. And then you can sell it. And then you can buy another house. And it'll quadruple. And he's like, it's the funniest videos. I'll link it in the show notes later on, but it's fantastic. So
that triple and quadruple works until the housing market.
Well,
collapses.
I mean, not in 2 years. I mean, let me, okay. So I have to start out being a millionaire. Got it. And
So first step, be born into a family that already has a lot of money.
Right. Step number one. Yeah.
So if you've messed up that part of it, then you just messed up from the beginning.
Well, I think step number one is be born into a society where millionaires are common, right? That's probably step number one. Step number two is
Switzerland, right?
Be born
into a
millionaire family. And the step number three is have them give you an inordinate amount of money to start with. And then step number four is invest that money.
Time for the Weird and Wacky segment.
Abominable Snowman.
He's not an axe murderer.
One of the TAs turned out to be a bot.
All right, first in Weird and Wacky. Are fingerprints unique? Not really, AI-based study says. So I'm not sure. I feel like this is a clickbaity title. Let me tell you the way I understood this and then tell me if I'm right. So the way I understood this, they fed in a bunch of sets of fingerprints into a computer. Some were from the same person, some were not. They were mix and match. Right. And 77% of the time, the AI was able to determine which sets of fingerprints were from the same person and which were not, which would mean that there are similarities between the fingerprints, but they're still unique, right? So like,
the title is unclear. They're not saying that they're not unique from person to person.
Okay.
What they're saying is that they're not necessarily unique from your own hands.
Okay.
And so one digit could imply, even if you have the fingerprint of another digit, you could still figure out that it might be that same person.
Okay.
By doing that. It's interesting because it opens up. First of all, it's interesting for a couple of reasons.
Right.
Humans have never been able to figure this out, right? It's just too much data, too much analysis, too hard to do.
Right.
Right. So that's cool because now computers can figure that out.
Right.
Then it's also interesting where you have a bunch of cold cases where you have a fingerprint, but that fingerprint necessarily isn't in a database.
Oh,
and now you can be like, well, look at this fingerprint and compare it to the ones that we do have.
Right.
And maybe is there somebody that might be a match for this? Mm. It's not going to tell you definitively like, hey, this fingerprint is definitely Adam Walker's.
Right.
It's going to be like, hey, it might be these 15 people.
Right.
See if there's other data that you have that might match up and be like, this person is interesting and maybe is somebody we want to look at for this unsolved crime or
mystery.
Now
that's fascinating. Okay. I like that.
So I think that's interesting. And I think, you never know. It might have archaeological, impacts as well. Right.
True.
I mean,
true.
I'm sure we have fingerprints from ages ago and you can't figure out which fingerprint belongs to which person.
Right.
Maybe now you can, right?
Okay.
Maybe we can get the fingerprints of Julius Caesar now or something. I don't know. Hey, look, your fingerprints are a 38% match for Julius Caesar.
All the way back to ancient Rome. You're really playing into that whole stereotype about guys think about the Roman Empire once a day thing. You're really digging into that, aren't you? Okay,
it's funny because I never think about the Roman Empire.
I don't either.
But I do, like, I think about things that are long a lot of times. I remember some comment that was made a long time ago. I think it was in school. That every breath you take, there's like one molecule of Julius Caesar's last breath saying "Et tu, Brute." And I always thought that fascinating. Like, he died over there, but in the thousands of years since, obviously those molecules have spread around
dispersed.
The earth. It's more about science and dispersion than it is about his actual last breath. But I don't know why.
There you go.
Just popped in my head. Something else that has popped into people's heads. A woman bought a vintage dress at an antique store. It had a secret pocket with a mysterious note.
Yeah.
This one actually did not get solved by AI.
No, it was a person.
It was a person.
There are people whose hobbies are cracking codes. I need to meet somebody like that.
I kind of did know this. So, you know, there is actually a sculpture at CIA headquarters.
Okay.
Out in the garden.
Right.
I've actually seen it in person once.
Right.
There it's called Kryptos, and there's three sections to this sculpture. And I think two of the three sections has been cracked. The third section is, as last I checked, had still not been decrypted. And there's only two people apparently that know the answer, the artist and then somebody at the CIA they were working with. But there's thousands of people working on cracking this thing.
Yeah.
And so I knew there were people that have a hobby of doing this thing. Okay. And it's like any other hobby, right?
Yeah.
It's a very mental hobby.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of determination again.
Yeah.
Apparently less determination than figuring out fingerprints, that are similar, so this dress, this person bought for like $100.
Yeah. $100. Yeah.
And found a secret pocket that had a note in it.
Yep.
With words like Bismarck, omit, leafage, buck, bank, Calgary, Cuba, unguard, confute, duck, Fagan. By the way, I'm going to use confute all the time from now on.
That's
I have no idea what that word means.
I don't either. That's a great word.
I'm going to
be like, don't confute me. Don't do that. Whatever.
by the way, Firefox just did the dictionary thing when I double clicked on that word. It says it's the transitive, now rare, which is why we've never heard it.
Yeah.
It means to show, to be false or wrong.
Confute. I used it correctly. That's what I'm saying. I know how to speak English. Okay.
So as it turns out, these words are actually the weather.
At certain locations and
certain temperatures and pressures. And the reason why they're written like this is because it costs less and it's easier to transmit over telegraph, right? Was it telegraph that they were talking about?
I think so. Yeah. I think it was telegraph. Yeah. And they just, it's just a shorthand is all it is.
Yeah.
Shorthand for the weather, which is kind of crazy.
Kind of crazy. And so one person figured this out and they were actually able to go back and pinpoint the exact day and location of this weather report.
Wild.
So
absolutely wild.
That pretty much accomplished nothing for humanity. So there you go. Good job.
Tech wreck, tech wreck. Time to get your tech wreck.
Tech wreck. Chicky.
Tech wreck. Time to get your tech wreck.
All right, Sanjay, it's tech wreck time. What do you have for us today?
So I've talked about this many times. We're in the middle of this, recovering from a home remodel, dealing with all this home automation stuff. So I've got this problem. I have a TV with a box that connects to it that sits behind the TV that I can't access.
Okay.
And it has a USB port,
right,
that I need to access to be able to put art images on the TV.
Mm.
So my initial thought was, okay, I got to run a really long 48 foot long cable to this USB port and then USB on the other side.
Yeah.
So I started looking around. Yeah, you can't run it 48 feet. Mm-hmm. You have to get an active device.
Yep.
So it has like a block in the middle. The cable is pretty thick and my conduit that runs the TV is not that big.
Right.
So that's not going to work.
Yeah.
So I stumbled upon this, the ORI USB over Cat5e/6. So this is a little device that connects to the USB port. And then on the other end is an Ethernet plug.
Right.
And you can run regular Cat5, Cat6, or you can connect it to a switch and then connect it on the other end is another box that is also got an Ethernet plug.
Connect auto magically together, essentially.
Over the network, yeah. And what's interesting, like this confused me when I plugged these in, they don't actually get an IP address. They're just using some kind of base Ethernet protocol. Now, the one thing, I haven't fully used this now, but the one thing I read in the reviews that warned is that it transmits a lot of data, like hundreds of megs a second. Hmm. So if you're using it on a link that doesn't have a lot of capacity, everything else is going to get squeezed when you're using this. So I've got it plugged in. This thing on the TV side does not need power.
Right.
But I've got another way that I'm going to talk about in a future tech rec of how to control this thing so that it doesn't overwhelm when I'm not needing it. But by the way, my last week's tech rec, the Casa plug, the controllable plug, is now behind this same TV. And I can remotely turn off the Roku, turn off the power to the TV.
Yep.
So if I need to power cycle anything, it works swimmingly well. So I'm super excited about that. So
that's great. That's great.
Lots of fun stuff coming up. And I've got another remote device coming next week for the TV as well that I'm using. So
nice.
There you go. What about you, Adam? What do you got for us?
I'm going to recommend the Govee Smart Electric Kettle. So my morning routine is to make pour over coffee for myself, which used to involve going downstairs, filling up the kettle, putting it on the stove, waiting for the water to boil, and then making my coffee, you know, doing the pour over for the coffee beans. Well, now I wake up, I open up my Govee app, I hit turn on to the kettle. The kettle already has water in it. It turns on. Not only does it turn on automatically, but it turns on to the appropriate degree because boiling water is actually hotter than you should use for coffee. So it turns it right to 205 degrees Fahrenheit. And then I go downstairs and it's already ready and warmed up. And all I have to do is grind the beans and do the pour over, which is kind of amazing. It's the greatest thing ever. And then it's got different settings for like, it's got a different temperature for tea. It's got a different temperature. You know, if you want to boil, you can do that. Like all the
You can actually set the temperature that you want of the water.
You can set the temperature you want, custom set the temperature. And if you wanted to, you can set it to turn on at a specific time. So like if I knew, oh, I'm going to be downstairs at 5:35 a.m. every morning. Exactly. But I mean, I find like if I just wake up, turn it on right when I wake up, it's ready by the time I get downstairs. I'm ready to go. So I just do that instead. But man, it is just fantastic. I'm really enjoying using it. It's worked out great. So if you're a coffee, tea, hot water needing person, this is a great device for you.
Given the temperature in Atlanta right now, I am needing a lot of hot water.
See, there you go. Order it up, man. Gosh. You got this. You got this. So, all right, Sanjay, how can our listeners find and connect with you?
They can find me at sanjaypark.com. What about you, Adam?
You can find me at adamjwalker.com. I started writing on my newsletter again today. I've decided, by the way, to adopt a new approach for my personal newsletter about leadership and life. And that approach is, I'm doing an atomic newsletter. So 250 words, and then a couple of links to interesting stuff I'm reading at the bottom, and that's it.
Nice.
I'm out. So take a look, adamjwalker.com.
I like it.